Welcome to ReChurch. I'm Marshall Fant, the Director of Church Consulting and Strategic Planning for Gospel Fellowship Association Missions. My purpose is to encourage pastors and church leaders as you refocus, renew, and revitalize your churches. We've established this podcast to offer practical tips and suggestions as you equip disciples to make disciples. Welcome back to GFA Missions ReChurch. Marshall Fant here. So glad to have you either listening or joining on YouTube. Appreciate your tuning in. If you've not subscribed to our channel, please do so. And we always appreciate it. Always appreciate comments. So if you have any comments or suggestions, be sure and email me, mfant@gfamissions.org. But today's topic, protecting your marriage and ministry. So this again was submitted. This is really our second episode where I've had Gretchen, my wife, joining us. So, Gretchen, welcome back.
Thank you. And it's good to be here.
This came from a board member who recommended me interviewing Gretchen on hard questions that pastors' wives ask. And so I think the topic here is something we all know every pastor lives with, but every pastor may not talk about openly. It's how to protect your marriage and ministry. Expectations are high, time is short, criticism is real, all these things play into putting pressures on marriage, and so we just want to do this. Another way I would like to rephrase this would be protecting your marriage and ministry, but a term Gretchen and I use a lot is we're a team. So how do you become a team and then stay a team in ministry that you don't allow the pressures of ministry to disrupt your marriage? So, again, Gretchen, thanks for joining us. So, anyway, let me ask you this. Let me give a little background, and then I won't let Gretchen go with it. So, Gretchen and I had been married many years before we started the ministry. So, really, my ministry and Gretchen's ministry really began vocationally at age 40. So, at that time, we entered ministry with five children. We went out as primarily missionary church replanters. We relocated in that season of going from the business world into vocational ministry. And as a family, Gretchen, we relocated 2 hours away. Your mom had just passed away.
Mm-hmm.
We went from a great Christian school from the kids now to homeschooling. We left a great church where all our kids were plugged in. It was University of Baptist Church in Clemson. Had a wonderful time, and now we're going to a very, very small church, and all this was really happening in a 2 or 3 week sequence or a 4 week sequence, whatever it was. So that's where our journey started. Okay, so Gretchen, let me back up and ask you this. So what did you think marriage and ministry would look like? Okay, now again, we entered it with a lot of different pressures, okay? But even before that, what did you think marriage and ministry would look like?
I must not be much of a planner or something like that, because I didn't really think about what it would look like. I was so busy thinking about packing up and finding a house and all that kind of stuff. I don't remember thinking, what is it going to look like? But I do remember when we first started, it was so wonderful because we did all the things that we were doing before.
Right.
But then we were doing it as a vocation.
And as a couple.
Yes. It's a great feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. I think one of the things you said, I can't believe we're actually getting paid to do this.
Yeah, we're actually getting paid. We're actually, people are paying us to do this because we both had some ministry. You weren't able, because you had a full-time job, right, to do as much, but you still did. You did a lot of teaching and things like that. And then I had a lot of Bible study and that sort of thing. So I remember just loving it. We're actually getting paid to do what we love to do.
Yeah, and one of the questions, so how did we understand the pressure of ministry on the marriage? And I really take that back. When that question came up, I took it back to seminary days, right? I think we first started to deal with ministry pressure. I did an MDiv took us 5 years to get through it. Okay.
And you worked full time while you did it.
Worked full time while we had children and everything else. So I really think, I mean, wouldn't you agree that the pressure of seminary prepared us for the pressures of seminary on our marriage?
Mm-hmm.
Prepared us for pressures of ministry on our marriage. Would you, was that,
I think so. It was actually moving and going full time in vocational ministry was more of a relief in a way, you know, yeah. Your schooling is done. To me, the schooling and full-time job was really, really hard. And it was doable because I knew that it took 5 years, right? But yes. I knew that there was an end to it. We wouldn't be doing this for the rest of our lives.
All right, so let's talk about this. Gretchen, let's address this. So we understand in any marriage has pressures. I mean, right, just everything. But the ministry does bring unique pressures on pastors and their wives that others may not see. And what I mean by that, I just want you to comment on, you know, the pressure of always being available, maybe the emotional weight of carrying other people's problems, not only our own, but those, and maybe criticism that may come to us as far as ministry. So would you run with that? Give me your comments on the unique pressures ministry may face on a marriage.
Well, I think it probably depends on the size of the church. We got down to 12 people and 7 of them were us. But as we started to grow a little bit, the arrows always went back to you.
Yeah.
And me, but mainly you. There were no deacons. We didn't have anyone to be a deacon. There was just you. So even though we didn't have many people, they do tend to expect, and we talked about that in the last podcast, I think expectations, but that can weigh on you, and particularly as the church would grow and there were more and more problems and things to deal with, not unusual, but just people problems.
It's regular ministry, yeah.
Yes, ministry that stuff, just yeah. happen, and that can sometimes be overwhelming. And I remember going weeks where there was not one evening where you were home. I mean, you'd come home for eat to eat, but then you go out because you have to visit somebody in the hospital or yeah. this person. And I think as a church grows, of course, you figure those things out and you try to spread the load.
And I think one of the key marks in our history would be when God brought in 3 men that were qualified to be deacons.
Yes.
And I think that was a huge part. But even with no deacons, deacons, elders, I don't care what kind of polity you run, there are still unique pressures that come because of the people's problems. Now, let me ask you this. So do you think pastors sometimes underestimate how much their wives are caring emotionally? I mean, we talked about criticism. So do you think that we as pastors underestimate how much you're caring?
I don't know. I think probably so. I don't know if a pastor realizes how hard it is for a wife when she hears criticism or when somebody says something about your husband that really hurts. And I'd rather someone say it about me than say about because the reason I say that is not because I'm virtuous or something like that. It's because when someone criticizes the pastor and you're the pastor's wife, sometimes that criticism can have an effect on the wife. Sometimes it can even take root. Maybe there's a tiny bit of truth. There's usually is a little bit of truth.
Sure.
We've talked about this. There's a little bit of truth in every bit of criticism that we need to benefit from. And I can deal with that for myself, but it's hard for me and it's hard for pastors' wives when people criticize the pastor because there's nothing that I can, that's not my personal responsibility to change or to benefit from that criticism, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, this is basic what I'm about to say, but I think when these times come and these pressures are there is even a more reason to communicate each day.
Exactly.
Communication solves so much of this. Yeah, even, I mean, I know always available, you got the time pressure, criticisms come. Mm-hmm. But the best way to deal with that is for the husband and wife to communicate each day. And so just, you know, as you're getting in, so what would you do, what would you say, what are some of those helpful things we did to protect our marriage in ministry over the years? What were some of those?
I remember being very pressured around Christmas with the children getting, I didn't have time, you know, to go. We didn't have Amazon to order gifts, and I didn't have time to be running around and trying to find stuff. And I can't purchase really well for boys anyway. We have three boys and two girls. So we would take off during Christmas season.
Yeah. So during Christmas season, ministry is super busy, right?
Right.
Anyway.
Right. Okay. And so, I just didn't have time. So I would feel the pressure.
Right. Okay.
Of, you know, this year, it ain't going to be nothing. And it's not going to be a very fun Christmas. So around in November, we would take off for 24 hours. We make arrangements with the kids. I think we would farm them out usually.
Yeah.
And give, you know, a couple kids to one family and a couple kids to another. And, then we would go out and we would spend 24 hours just shopping and getting that pressure off of me. And I remember that as being a huge, huge help.
Yeah. And actually we called it our anniversary trip. Anniversary is in August, right? But August. We never got away then. So we would delay our anniversary trip, right? Don't remember, right?
That's right. Because in August it was too busy. We couldn't really do anything for our anniversary. So we would say, well, we'll do it in November.
Yeah.
We did.
So
that
in November,
years.
After things calmed down, we would do that. And I think that was just a way to take pressure off to protect our marriage. And I think, you know, another thing that I realized, and again, this is in seminary, I'll ask you to comment on it, that we had to prioritize time together.
Yes.
And I know that, again, we already talked about communication because it's so important. And I think the way you can protect your marriage in ministry or any other marriage is you've got to communicate. And I do remember, and I'll let you comment on it, when we were in seminary, and I say we because you went through it with me, all right? So I looked at my schedule, and I looked at, and I love schedules. I'm thinking, you know, I mean, I love having a calendar and planning it all. But I literally had 15 minutes a day to talk to you. All right, so you want to tell everybody what we did during those 15 minutes?
We would eat dinner, and then we'd send the kids in the TV room, and we put them in front of Andy and Mayberry. and we told them, you know, unless there's blood, you cannot bother us, and we've got 15 minutes and you would look at your watch. We'd sit at the kitchen table. You'd look at your watch and you'd say, okay, I got 15 minutes. And then we'd talk about the day and talk about, and you'd say, is there anything I can help you with? And we would talk through that. And, that really helped. Yeah. I didn't feel like as much I was all by myself doing this. I think a lot of things, as I think through this issue, a lot of it goes back to communication. Because even as we were talking about going out with the Christmas presents, you would not have known what a burden that was to me.
Right.
If I hadn't told you. So you have to be able to talk about those things. Or it's too great.
You know, all through ministry, we tried to keep the 15-minute rule.
Yeah.
Where I call it the 15-minute rule, where we would sit down and talk 15 minutes because whatever it is, you know, we were able to talk it through. And I think that communication protected our marriage during good times, hard times, whatever it may be. And also, I do think there were times when, you know, during a certain time where I just needed you to sit down and tell me that everything would be okay. You want to comment on that?
Yeah, I think that's one thing I learned that I hadn't really thought about, and that is a wife's first responsibility to her husband really is to help him. You know, we are helpers, and I think in ministry, and maybe, I don't know, it seems like this is worse in the beginning when people first coming. There are not a lot of people that can come to a church plant and really be happy about it for a long period of time. You know, they get mad about stuff, something to go their way. They come thinking, you know, this is the church I'm going to make to be the best church, you know, I've ever been in. They try to do things and you stop them or you tell them, no, we're not going to do that. And they get mad, that kind of stuff. So things would always be, there would always be, not always, but there was frequently, there would be some kind of either conflict or some kind of problem in a family that we had to help with or something. And I learned that I could never be distressed or down when you were. We couldn't do it. I thought when I saw, I said, boy, it's a good thing we're not both this way at the same time. It would not have been a good picture. But I would always try to be positive and try to say, no, this is, and try to say, this is what's really happening. And this will be over. And this is what we need to do. And that's probably the only time I would ever tell you sometimes what to do, because you don't obey very well.
No, I don't. I don't obey very well. Hopefully I obey the Lord.
Yep. I remember saying, no, now just think about this. You don't want to do this because I knew you were distressed about something. And the same thing was for me. I remember I was going through menopause and just everything was just horrible. And I would get to church and I would think everything was falling apart. And I would think, is this really true? Or is it just me? And we'd get home and I remember sitting there and saying, okay, I just need you to tell me if everything's okay. And you would say, oh yeah, everything's great. This is happening. And then you tell me all the good things that are happening. And I assume that was all genuine. But the bottom line is you need to try to not be down at the same time. Right. Okay. You need to, and the help goes both ways.
But wouldn't you say, all else aside, protecting your marriage and ministry, if you regularly communicate,
yes,
honest, transparent communication, tell me, is it something I've done? Tell me what you see.
Yeah.
And sometimes we pastors don't like to be vulnerable, but if I can't be vulnerable with you, who can I be vulnerable with, right? I mean, this is
what you have to be honest. You have to be honest.
Because again, the description, I like, we are a team and we couldn't let anything come between us. We had to protect the marriage. Because if we lose our marriage, we lose everything. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I remember even in seminary, Dr. Michael Barrett was my advisor. And before we even went through the schedule, he would sit down and he would say, okay, tell me, how's your family? And from the very beginning, he was always concerned because, Marcy, if you lose your family, there's no reason to go to seminary. So, and same thing with men. If we lose our relationship as husband and wife, you know, we've got to protect it. We've got to guard it. Because without that, then we have no ministry. So let me ask you a question, Gretchen. What would your advice be? A ministry couple sees their marriage drifting. Okay, they're becoming more distant. You know, what would your advice be? I mean, the pressure's real, criticism's real. It's gonna happen. Ministry's hard. Those are all for everyone, okay? But the effect on their marriage is they feel their marriage is drifting. What would you sit down and what advice would you give them?
I think there always needs to be someone that they can go to for help if they need it. If just communicating, if they can't get through, I don't think that person has to be in the church. I think it can be maybe a leader in another church, maybe not even a local one, but maybe a previous church or something there. I think it's really important to have someone that the wife can go to if the husband is drifting or whatever, and that the husband could go to and they could both go to. I think sometimes people need help with that, but I think a lot of it goes back to communication, and in order so I think about Ephesians 4, and we have the rules of communication that we talk about from Ephesians 4 about being,
keeping
current and all these things. Yes. Yeah. But at the very beginning of chapter 4, it talks about humility. Mm-hmm. And I believe that is the bottom line of good communication and a good relationship is humility. In fact, I heard one writer saying, I can't remember now exactly who it was, but he said, in marriage problems, humility, if both sides are humble, your chance for success is 100%.
Exactly.
I really believe that. Mm-hmm. I think many times the reason it's not successful is because you have one person who's proud and won't hear what they need to hear, mm-hmm. or the other person's proud and won't say what they need to say, mm-hmm. or they're afraid or whatever. But humility is just key in the rest of communication.
Yeah, it starts with Ephesians 4:1 that I have it open here. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, walk worthy of the calling with which you're called, with lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, hearing with one another in love, bearing with one another in love. So we've got that humility is primary there.
Yeah.
As we do it. Okay, so let me ask you this. So again, this would be a word to, and then you can comment, to pastors and pastors' wives that are listening, that if you find your marriage is drifting, you can email me. We have friends that do counseling for pastors. We know there are unique pressures pastors and the wives do face, and it may be an experienced pastor that is that has counseling as part of his background can help to that. But there are people to talk it through. Do not give mm-hmm. up. Don't mm-hmm. go run and hide. I also recommend you develop a relationship with the chairman of your deacons, that the wife knows that she can go to him or another elder where they have confidence. To help you through this. So please, if your marriage is not healthy, your ministry will not be healthy. So please, if you feel your marriage is drifting, let's get some help on that. Okay, Gretchen, let's go to the next point. So let's talk about, you know, what helped you balance between being supportive of me mm-hmm. as your husband and as your pastor and the pressures of ministry, but also, you know, you have your own ministry and you as the wife who God created you to be. So what helped you balance those two in marriage?
I knew that you wanted me to grow and to use my gifts. And I think that helped. I knew you had my best interest in mind and that you weren't just interested in yourself, in being the best pastor there ever was or whatever, that you had my best interest in mind and you were interested. You helped me to exercise my gifts, would give me things to help me in that area. And I think sometimes a wife can almost resent, and kids can do this too, resent the ministry because they see that, oh, that's important to him, but I'm not important to him. And I think children can feel that way. And so they need to know that that's not the case. And they know that by what you do, not by what you say.
Yeah. And Todd, with that, do you think, again, the pressures of marriage in ministry, so what would you tell a wife if she is feeling from her husband more pressure to be involved in the ministry than really she can be or has the time to be, and this becomes a divisive issue within their marriage and therefore the ministry? We talked a little bit about this in the previous podcast, but you want to comment on that, on she's feeling more pressure from her husband to be more involved in the ministry?
I think a fear of man can be a big part of this. And not only the husband thinking, oh, we've got to do this or else people are going to leave or whatever, or we've got to do this to have a good church and that sort of thing. And it gets back to communication. She needs to not fear. And I've known women who are too afraid to really tell their husbands. They say, well, I can't tell him. He'll be disappointed in me, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fear of man too. So there's enough fear of man to go around for everybody. So I feel kind of like a broken record, but it gets back to talking honestly about these things. And then I think from the husband's viewpoint, he needs to be able to say, what can I do? And you did this for me. What can I do to help you to get this done? If it's something that really does need to be done, what can I do to make it easier for you? And know that he's part of it. I think that's important.
Yeah, and you know, I really appreciate, I have some pastor friends whose wives really just want to be in the background. Mm-hmm. And they don't want, and you know what? They allow them to do that.
Yep.
They don't cave in to, it's got to be us, the perfect couple up front, always both of us up front, where she's much more comfortable serving in the background. And to those men, you know, praise the Lord. Let them serve where gifted, because it will disrupt your marriage if you put pressures on your wife to do that. All right, so let's talk about this, because, you know, hard seasons do come. So there's some self-inflicted, okay, and that's what we need to deal with. But really, they're also, you know, handling ministry strain together. Again, we're a team, and this ministry strain can split the team because, you know, the realities, Gretchen, I'll let you comment, the realities of ministry is hard seasons do come. So we've already talked about communications, but so during these hard, difficult seasons, due to trials, internal, external, whatever happens in the church, how should a husband and wife talk through this together?
I'm thinking you're probably thinking of the same incident. We've had one, what you call our firestorm, yeah. Very, very difficult time in our ministry. I think we were about 10 years in, where a leader came against you, against our family, and started making accusations and things like that. And that was, that, as I look back on it, that was the hardest time of our ministry, but it was also the most helpful in a lot of ways, because as I look back on it now, so I think we need to always keep that, as it says in James, you know, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, yeah, knowing yeah, yeah, that the testing of your faith produces patience, that God always brings good out of these things. But when you're in the middle of it, I've already mentioned this, but I was constantly trying to stay positive and trying to view what was really happening and to try to keep you on an equilibrium, because I wasn't there very much, so I think that's where the helper comes out. And I remember you saying things like, well, maybe we should leave or something like that. And I would say, no, listen, you know, I would say things that I never would say in a normal situation, but I sensed that this is what you needed. Too, because when you have somebody coming against you, it can be very paralyzing.
Yeah. And I think also during those times you helped me see, okay, this is how you contributed to it. Okay. And yes, so where it was my fault, you would help me see that. So, and I need to go ask forgiveness or whatever, but where it wasn't, you helped me not become paralyzed.
Right. Yeah. I'd say, cause if there's one thing that I believe is very, very harmful, it's when people ask forgiveness for things that they know that they did not sin, but they're what we call peace fakers, you know?
Yep.
You ask forgiveness just to make the person be quiet. And so we talked to, you know, about that. No, that was not sin. You did not, that was not wrong. Now, if you, maybe this other thing, I could see how, you know, we try to talk through that and I try to stay positive. And there were times when I definitely was not positive and it was very, very hard, but
yeah. Yeah, but I think talking together allowed, at least I remember, it allowed me to get traction.
Yeah, it makes me nervous to even get to talk about now. I start getting nervous.
All right, but also I think it's important as a marriage, again, that as people lead the church, that we don't blame each other. Okay, that we talk it through, because especially in a smaller ministry and a key family or two leaves. And the wife could very easily blame the husband for a sermon he preached, or the husband could blame the wife for not having them over to eat enough, whatever. But you can get into this circular blame game. It's your fault. And really, this during those ministry pressures to protect your marriage, you've got to stay together. You've got to stay. You've got to be one. You've got to be the same team.
Exactly. And even if you don't say it, I have actually heard a pastor say, well, people are leaving because of you. I've actually heard that.
Tongue to his wife.
To his wife.
Yeah.
Exactly. That is so wrong. But sometimes you might not even say it, but just think it, and that can put a strain on marriage.
Sure. Sure. Okay. All right. So let's talk through a couple more things. So Gretchen, and kind of land this thing, I would like for you to speak directly to pastors as a pastor's wife. Okay. So what should pastors understand about protecting their marriage in the pressures of ministry? from a wife's perspective?
I think that they should be careful about pressuring the wife to do things that she doesn't believe she's called to do.
Okay.
And secondly, I would say you need to let your wife help you. Really help you, really listen to her, because she might have some insights that will help you. If you won't listen to her, you're missing a lot, and you may be missing something that could really, really help you in your ministry.
All right, so comment on this, Gretchen. So my wife, she is not simply part of my ministry, she is my ministry. Nor she's just not a part of the rest of the church, but she must be my priority.
Right, right. Okay. I think that's true.
All right, so how would a husband, how should a husband make sure that the wife knows that she is his first ministry?
He needs to tell her. But okay. I mean, it's not just telling her. A lot of men would say that. Oh yeah, I agree, but they won't listen. And I can. Sometimes, this is very judgmental. I probably shouldn't say it, but...
Go ahead.
Sometimes I can tell when I talk to a man, I can tell if he's sensitive and if he listens to his wife. Or more importantly, I can tell, maybe he's just sensitive naturally, but I have talked to men before where I've thought, this man needs to listen to his wife. because he has... I have the sense that I'm kind of being looked down on or whatever it is. And I know I'm not encouraging, judging and all that, but I just know that if a man does not listen and really listen, that he's missing a big part of what could be help in his ministry.
Sure. Yep. And I think if he doesn't listen, he dismisses it. Well, she didn't go to seminary. She really not there. But God's brought you. The wife is part of the husband's life, for God has placed her there to be his helper. So I think my first responsibility is not to the church.
Mm-hmm.
It is to my wife, and it is to our marriage. And I think we've got to be able to walk through that. Okay, so let's reverse this. I want to talk to pastors' wives just a minute, all right, Gretchen, and I want you to speak to them that may be listening, especially those who seem stretched thin, or their marriage they feel unseen by their husband. Mm-hmm. She isn't even around, and he's concentrating on the pulpit ministry and all this in front of people, and she feels like she's just left behind. Mm-hmm. What would your counsel be to her?
Well, it depends on whether she sees the picture accurately.
Okay,
because
well said.
At times, if she's already talked and they've talked and whatever, it could be that she's expecting too much. There's a lot of talk about, he's my all in all, you get married and he's going to meet my every need, whatever. And, sometimes women just need to talk to their girlfriends about stuff. They want to talk deep.
Not gossiping to their girlfriends.
No, not that, of course. But, sometimes women want to talk and talk and talk and talk. They want to stay up. And, you can see this. If you go to a party
or something. Let's paint the picture. Hang on. Let's paint the picture. I come home, full day of ministry.
Right.
You haven't had an adult to talk to, right? You've been talking to kids. Right. And all of a sudden we sit down finally, the kids are in bed, and you want a deep, deep, long conversation. And what do you see on my face?
Right. Well, I want to talk about, not only about the kids, then I want to talk about something I saw in the scriptures and blah, blah. And I'm talking and I see this deer in the headlights kind of like,
there you go.
And I think, he just wants to go to bed. And then I'm thinking, he just doesn't care. He's obviously not spiritual. He doesn't want to, this kind of thing. And sometimes I think we just need to realize that husbands are not there. They're not like us. And we should be grateful for that. But we're different. And sometimes we talked about friends and friendships. We need someone else. And maybe you need to go outside the church, maybe if you don't have one in the church yet, but someone that you can just really talk heart to heart with.
All right, so let's circle back. But there's also the point, if you really need their attention, wife, you need to say, okay, I need 15 minutes. We've got to talk through this, right? So I mean, so I wasn't meaning that. I wasn't dismissing.
Yeah. Both sides are true. It's just you have to have wisdom when you think, you know what, this is not really what he wants to, he doesn't really want to talk right now.
So, all right, I'm going to give you final words, but you know, I think marriage and ministry, if we lose our marriage, we lose our ministry. I think it's important because marriage and ministry is both a gift and it's also a challenge. There are pressures that are real and the pressures we put on ourselves and the joy of serving together. I love the way you said to get in the beginning, you know, it's great to be able to serve together. We are a team, you know, but it must be intentionally guarded. It has to be, there's got to be, again, with us is our 15-minute rule each day. I don't think we did it on Wednesdays and Sundays, but five out of 7 days, if I remember right, we established that 15-minute rule. And that, I would say, personally, that that communication allowed our marriage not simply to survive during those years, but I think it thrived simply by communicating 15 minutes a day. And again, you got to guard that. Again, don't you dare to the children. Don't interrupt us or whatever, but you've got to guard it, okay? All right, so I'll let you have the final word, protecting your marriage and ministry. It's a privilege to be married. It's a privilege to be in ministry. Don't want to take either one for granted, neither one. So, all right, Gretchen, last words, and we'll wrap it up.
Yes, I think we have a tendency, we have a focus on the family. We've had a real emphasis in this generation of family. Family is so important, but we need to be careful that we're not in competition with the church. I think that the church, it is very healthy for a family to submit themselves to something bigger than themselves. To submit themselves to the church and to, because they, the leadership of the church, they watch for our souls. And really the church is in that sense above the family, and people will chafe at that because we tend to go in the direction in this generation. I think it's still this way, to say the family is the most important. And it is true. If you lose your marriage, you lose your ministry, but that's not because the family is more important than ministry. Yeah, God is, we need to submit to God. And there are times, and even children need to know that, you know, I know that you want to do this or it's your birthday, but you know, it's Sunday and we need to honor God, the Lord, and then we'll do yours later or something like that.
Sure.
To let them know that they are not more important than the church. And really, the marriage, you and I are not more important than the church. God has said he will build his church, and he will. So we need to have that mentality that we are submitting ourselves to the authority of the church, and God's building his church, and what a privilege to be part of it. So we operate under that, and that therefore, we do want to have a strong marriage so that we'll have a strong church.
Yeah, and that's well, the strong church results of strong marriages, especially pastors and the wives. We won't have the privilege of serving the church if we're not strong in our marriage. So I think, just to circle back what you said, so I think it is important. The church is important. The church is eternal. But I also want to make sure we understand that our privilege to serve the church is because we are married in the office of pastor or elder, whatever your role is. And then as that, we are serving the Lord, and we cannot let our marriage be destroyed from pressures within or pressures without as we have the privilege of serving him. So we need to be thankful for our salvation, be thankful for our marriage, be thankful for our church, and all that. You know, we've got to protect our marriage in order so we can serve the Lord through the church. Is that a fair way to wrap it up?
Yes, and humble communication is the best way to do that.
All right, Gretchen, thanks for your time.
All right.
Again,
good.
This podcast on protecting your marriage and ministry. The pressures are real, but we also know that God's grace is sufficient for everything. So I pray if we can help you, reach out, mfant@gfamissions.org. And ladies, if you'd like to talk to Gretchen, we can get you in touch with her as well. All right. God bless. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching.
You're listening to ReChurch, a podcast of Gospel Fellowship Association Missions. If you would like more information about our ministry or how we may assist you and your church, visit us at gfamissions.org/consulting.